This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes, the exercise of our faith pleases God, and except for the message of salvation, there is no more important a truth than this message of faith. Yet many Christians who know about and even exercise their faith are living a life far below what God's word promises. What is it about claiming something in faith that so many seem to be missing? In our series, Setting Higher Goals for Your Faith, Pastor Ray, taking a practical look at this issue, based on the Bible definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, concludes that faith, no matter how sincere, not coupled with a high level of hope, can only be a hopeless faith, accomplishing little. Understanding now how hope sets the goal and faith makes it a reality. Most would agree with Pastor that because Christians aren't dreaming big enough, they don't have a faith problem. They have a hope problem.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, very familiar verse to many of us, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, there are many ways of looking at this verse, and we can dissect it and talk about it from different perspectives and different angles, but I just really want to focus in on this aspect of this verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. So what I see in this is that hope and faith are, you know, connected, very, very tightly connected. And basically, if your faith doesn't have hope, then your faith has nothing to give substance to. It has nothing to create, right? Because that's what faith does. Faith creates, right? Hope dreams, but faith creates. So if your faith doesn't have a dream, if your faith doesn't have a vision, if your faith doesn't have a destination, then, you know, which is hope, then it has nowhere or nothing to create, has nowhere to go or nothing to create. Faith will not respond until you set a hope. When you put a hope out there, that's when your faith kicks into gear and starts to, working towards producing in your life, producing it. So a lot of times, you know, and I've said this over the years, and I really believe this, a lot of times, I don't think people have a faith problem. I think they have a hope problem. I don't think they're dreaming enough. I don't think they've set vision. I think sometimes people are afraid to set vision or set goals in their life because they're afraid of failure. So it's easier to just stay where you are and do nothing and just keep spinning your wheels as opposed to dreaming and casting out hope, you know, like something bigger, something better I want to accomplish, I want to do, you know, maybe you want to finish up that education, maybe you want to, you know, start that business, maybe you want to, you know, whatever, do whatever, whatever, and you're afraid because maybe you've had a string of failures before, and failure will always prevent you from dreaming and, you know, sending out a hope. And if your hope is not out there, your faith has nowhere to go. You're just, you know, really the difference, here's the difference, right? There's a difference between possessing faith and maintaining faith. You can have faith, but what side of the aisle is it on? Is it just maintaining where you are, or is it possessing? Is it moving forward and seeking more and accomplishing more in your life? This is where hope really fits in, because if you don't have hope, then your faith has no direction. I like to say that faith without hope is hopeless faith. It's not going to go anywhere. Nothing's ever going to happen. So you have to see it as a very important part of your faith walk. That's why I think that every one of us needs to sit down and really assess our lives and, you know, set some goals, set some visions, especially some of you, even the older people. Don't ever stop dreaming and believing until you take your last breath. You should be dreaming and doing and accomplishing and saying, I'm going to do this, or you want to get this done. Make a list of, don't fold up and die. You know, just don't do that. You know, it's like I see too many, now that I'm on the other side of, you know, 60, well, now that I'm getting a little older, but anyway, I see how many people in my age group, you know, and older, even younger, start to fold up. You got to live and you got to dream and you got to do things, and you can't just sit home and waste away. You got to dream, and that's what hope is. And sometimes people wonder why their faith is lacking. It's not that you have faith. It's that your faith has nothing to accomplish. Yeah. because you've not given it a hope. You have to give it a hope in order for it to accomplish. So that's why no matter how old you are, you got to be dreaming some dreams. You got to be thinking some things. You got to, you know, think some things that are big, you know, whatever. Just do it. Turn to somebody and say, do it. Just do it, right? Is everybody with me? So a very well-known verse to me and to the people of this church, I believe you've been around, is Proverbs 13:12. And it says this, very simply. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, or, you know, hope put off makes the heart sick. If you don't have hope, you lose everything, right? People fold up because they lose their hope. People get depressed because they lose their hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you want to keep your heart alive, and you want to keep your heart healthy, and you want to keep yourself going, you've got to keep hope alive. So today, I wanted to go to Romans chapter 4, and just for a few minutes, we've got a little bit of time here. I want to look at this story of Abraham, and let's just talk about Abraham. Abraham is recognized, is told to us by the Bible, that he is considered the father of faith. Why? Well, because he demonstrated extreme faith with God, and started off initially that he was an aged man, about 75 years old, and God told him he was going to have a child, and you know, but it didn't happen for 25 years. He was 100 when it happened. He was 75 when it was told. It was 25 years, so he had received the promise, which was Isaac, his son. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version here, right? But right, received Isaac, and then God says, sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham was so obedient to God and so sold out for God. Not like a lot of Christians today. You know, we're fair weather Christians, a lot of people. Not you, but maybe somebody like you. Fair weather Christians. He was sold out. God said, give it all, and he did. He brought Isaac to the altar, and just as he's about to plunge the knife into him. And you see, he was such a man of faith that the Bible says that, this is what he said, that he was so willing to give up his son because he reckoned within himself that God could even raise the dead and return Isaac back to him. This is how much faith he had. You see, you're afraid to give your tithe. No, it's true. You're afraid to give your tithe or an offering, you see. But Abraham was willing to give his son Isaac because he believed, he had faith, that God could raise the dead and bring his son back to him. You can't believe that God will bless your tithe and bring you your needs, but Abraham believed that if he offered up his son, that God could raise him back up from the dead. In other words, he said, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do something good. I know you're going to do something. So let's pick this up in Romans chapter 4, and let's read it through from verse 13, just to get the foundation. So for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. And we could talk about these things, but we're not going to focus on that. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. Well, that means simply that everything that's promised is not just to the lineage of Abraham, which is the Jewish people, but everything that was promised now comes to us. All right, so we are included in that because it comes not by anything other than the blood of Jesus, right? It comes by the grace of God, which was exhibited in Jesus' sacrifice through faith, right? So so he says, as it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Now listen, verse 18, this is where I want you to pay attention, okay, everybody? Talking about Abraham, who contrary to joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come, contrary to hope. In other words, he was in a hopeless situation. Listen, he's told he's going to be the heir of the world. He's lived his life. He's 75 years old. God says, you're going to become the heir of the world through a child I'm going to give you. How many of you would agree with me that in the natural, looks like a hopeless situation? Amen. I mean, how many women do I have in this congregation that are past the age of childbearing? Amen. Now, your body already knows, you know because of your body, that there ain't no way you're having a child. That's right. Am I correct? Yes. So now think of this position of Abraham with his wife, Sarah, who is about 10 years younger than him, right? Think of the situation. He's an old man. She's aged. They're past childbearing. And God says, this is the promise, that you're going to become the heir of the world through a child I'm going to give you. This is what it says about the attitude of Abraham. This is the attitude that we all need. He said, who contrary to hope, contrary to joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come, in hope, in joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. In other words, he dared his unbelief. He dared the circumstances. He said, you know what? This is a hopeless situation in the natural. But contrary to this hope, in hope, I'm going to continue to believe. I'm not going to look at the fact that I'm 75, my wife's 65, she's past childbearing, she couldn't have a kid. There's just no way. But God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to come about. So you got to get back to that default. God, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know you are. There may be no joyful, confident, favorable expectation in the natural, but against all joyful, confident, favorable expectation, against all hope, in joyful, confident, favorable expectation, in hope, he believed. He expressed faith. He said, God, I don't know. This doesn't make sense to my natural senses. You know, my natural mind can't even conceive this or perceive this because this does not happen in the natural. Get ready, because God loves to do things that have never been done before. God loves to do things. And if you're going to receive from the hand of God by faith, and you're going to have to keep hope, even when the circumstances look hopeless, you've got to hold on to hope until the very last breath. You got to hold your hope. You got to remain joyfully confident that favorable expectation is coming. Something good is coming. Something good. God, I know you're involved in it. So who contrary to hope, in hope, believed or used faith, right? So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Your descendants be. He told him, he said, your descendants are going to be thousands and thousands are going to cover the land for generations. This is what God's speaking to him when he's 75 years old, his wife is about 65 and they're past childbearing and there's really no hope in the natural that she's going to bring forth a child. But the Bible says that even contrary to hope, in hope, he maintained his faith. He maintained his faith. This is how you see how hope and faith work together. Had he lost his hope, his faith would have went down the tubes. His hope is what kept him bolstered. Joyful, confident, and favorable expectation. God's going to do something. I don't know how. I don't know when. God, I just believe what you said. Your word says. You told me this is what's going to happen. Don't know how. Don't know when. But I'm trusting you. So against hope, in hope, he believed. And so he became the father of many nations, according to what is spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now listen to these six things or seven things that Abraham did. And that's what I want to focus in on for a few minutes this morning. Seven things that Abraham did. And not being weak in faith. Just not being weak in faith. Now, you know, that's sort of a, sounds like a simple, you know, sentence, right? Not being weak in faith. Well, your faith can be weak. And maybe some are here today with weak faith. And that's a real human problem, not one that we're just going to gloss over and say, oh, you shouldn't be weak in faith, you know, bad you. No, there are things that come sometimes that weaken our faith, right? We get afraid or stuff comes. So what we've got to do is we've got to learn how to protect our faith. And one of the major ways you're going to protect your faith, you know, is do what the Bible says. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to have a constant, steady inflow of the word of God. That really keeps your faith strong, right? So you're believing God for a promise, like, you know, whatever it is, something you need or you want or whatever it be. So what you're doing is you're lining up all the verses from the Bible that are bolstering up your faith, keeping your hope alive through it all, saying, God, I'm going back to what your word said. You said, you know, healing is mine, prosperity is mine, deliverance is mine, whatever it be. I keep going back to the word, right, to keep my faith strong, right? All the while, I keep the hope out there. I see myself healed. I see myself blessed. I see myself prosperous. I see myself in that new house. I see myself driving that new car. Whatever it is, I just keep it out there, and I keep my faith strong by the word of God. Now, another good thing to do Well, two things good to do is have good word people around you.
Amen.
That will bolster you up and will believe God with you. He wasn't weak in faith. You know, one of the things is we can't get weak in faith. We've got to stay strong in our faith. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep a steady flow of the word. We're going to keep good faith people. You need, now here, you need a good faith church. Some of you don't realize, but you're sitting in a faith church. We believe God. We exercise our faith. We believe God. We stand on the word of God. We trust God. I've seen what God has done, and I know he will continue to do it. He won't let us down, right? So not being weak in faith, listen, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider his own body. So here's the important thing. You can't consider your circumstances. You got to look at himself and say, look, I'm 100 years old. How am I going to give birth to a child? This is ridiculous. It ain't going to happen. You can't consider your own body.
Amen.
Or your own circumstance or your own situation. He didn't look at that. He just kept looking to the word of God. He kept looking to what God said. He kept looking to what God promised him. He kept saying, you know, and there was an eternal purpose. And you said, generations are going to be blessed through me. So I'm just standing on what you said.
That's right.
I'm standing on what you told me.
Amen.
And in hope, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Came the father of many nations. It happened. But not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. The deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider his own body, his own circumstances. He didn't consider his wife's circumstances.
Amen.
All he did was focus in on what God said. And see, if you're gonna be able to bring your faith, you know, to fruition, if you're gonna bring the things that you desire and want to reality, then you're gonna have to stop considering everything that's around you.
Amen.
He didn't consider his own body. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider her. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith. He did everything, I guess, you could possibly do to strengthen your faith. I might do a session on how to keep, you know, talk about strengthening your faith and keep. He did everything he could to strengthen his faith. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you're in the midst of trying to accomplish something or getting through an issue or whatever, and you're having faith, you're using your faith, but there's a lot of occasion to become hopeless. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, you better know how to build up your faith. You need some good faith people around you that'll stand with you and pray with you and believe with you and stand your ground and know how to agree and not are doubters, because that's not going to get anything done. It says, so he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So he was strengthened. So I like to say, in many ways, you could look at this verse too. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was just praising God through this whole thing. He was just lifting up his hands, giving honor and giving worship and praying and worshiping the Lord and just saying, God, you're the God of the impossible. God, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know why, I don't know how this is all going to happen, but God, I just try, just worship me. I can remember, and I still practice that, you know, when things get heavy and I just don't know what to do or what, you know, whatever, deal with stuff. Oh, I'll just praise God. I'll just walk up and down my house, walk around my house praising God and worshiping and just praying in the Spirit, you know, whatever. Just giving glory to God. Say, God, I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to give you the praise. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So we got to get back to that principle of praise and worship.
Amen.
Praising him, worshiping him. That really builds up your faith. Now listen to verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced. In other words, he stayed on the promise. He meditated on what God said. He was meditating in the scriptures. He was praising God. He was glorifying God. He was pushing away all of the things that were there that you know, that were contrary to what could possibly happen. You know, 100 years old, wife can't give birth, you know, whatever. He's dried, whatever it be. And he's just pushing against all that. But against all the odds, he was fully convinced.
Amen.
That God was able to perform what he had promised. That's why I believe in being fully and firmly grounded on God's word. Because if you know God's word, then you should be fully convinced that he will perform what he has promised. If you know God's word, you ought to be fully convinced that he will perform what he has promised. He will do what he has promised because you have the promise of God's word.
Amen.
So you can see through this seven things, right? He maintained hope even in a hopeless situation. He was not weak in faith. He did not consider his own body or his own insufficiency. He did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife's insufficiency. Did not waver at the promise. And that Amplified says, doubtingly question. Did not waver at the promise. He didn't doubtingly question. He just believed. Sometimes I've just got to walk around and say, God, I just believe. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I just believe. You know, I'm praying for this. I need this done. I need this to happen. I need whatever. I don't know how. I'm just not going to doubtingly question. I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to put my faith on. I'm going to keep my hope alive, right? That something good is coming. Something good is coming. So he didn't consider, he didn't waver at the promise, doubtingly question. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully convinced that God could and would perform what he promised. And that's really what it comes down to. You got to be fully convinced, man. You got to be convinced. We need some whacked out, radical Christians that are fully convinced that God is going to perform what he has promised in his word. Now, I only got a couple of hand claps from that side, nothing from this side. I don't know what's going on this side, but you've got to be fully convinced that God is going to perform what he said he's going to perform, right? And he was, Abraham was, and therefore he became the father of many nations. He brought forth the child and so on and so forth, all right? So, you know, hope is so important in our faith. And again, I'm going to kind of end on what I started with when we started. A lot of times people don't have a faith problem, they have a hope problem. You know, you got to get your hope out there. And then follow the pattern that Abraham did. I got them up there, right? Right? It's right here outlined in the word, but we did it that way. So I did it for you that way so that you could have it. All right. So let me just finish up by giving you these two verses, or this one verse, Romans 15, 13. Yeah. Now may the God of hope, I love it, the God of joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. This is the God you serve. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who you love. He's the God of joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. He's not a mean, nasty, revengeful, angry God. He's a good God. And the Bible says it here in Romans, may the God of hope, joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound. That you may abound. So God wants us to abound in joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. In other words, you ought to dream some big dreams and be expecting some awesome things for your life, for your kids, for your family, for your future, for everything that is connected to you, because the God of all hope wants to fill you with joy and peace so that hope may abound in your life, that you may be exploding with this expectation of good things coming up ahead.
Tune in again Monday afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors, or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.